Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because they took something like that, something that definitely the fan base would have enjoyed, and we're just like, well, we think this is too difficult, and we're scared that new players are going to get scared off from our franchise because we put hard things in them.
Sonata.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Trigger Dash!
And your co-host,
Larry
Pat! Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh, yeah.
Pucko!
Pucko.
And welcome to the 361st episode of the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my superb co-host, the one, the only, the bearded hobo himself, Bosifus.
And the beard is actually back. Oh, yeah. I'm in about week and a half scruff mode, so it is like full set coverage going on. I'm going all the way into 2019 with this baby too. It's gonna be good.
Full hobo Bo is coming back.
Full hobo.
And then of course we've got the greatest Puerto Rican here with us as well. The greatest Puerto Rican in Seattle. I feel like that's a pretty good qualifier.
Oh man, that's amazing. Yeah.
Right?
Some say Jishiro, but some say also that the beard, both beards actually never left.
It's not about the beard on the outside. It's about the beard you have on the inside. That's what really counts.
I don't know that means, and it's slightly disturbing. But welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, for those of you who are new to the show, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a name that we came up with in 2007, back when podcasting was brand new and nothing made any sense. And then, of course, we have a great show for you guys today. We are a Pokemon podcast that talks everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to the board game Pokemon Master Quest. We should actually, like, that sounds like a good topic for one day. We'll put that on the back burner.
That sounds like we should get it and have a play running, record it, us playing that board game one time, if we can find it.
PuckleCon 5, baby. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
That game takes longer than Monopoly, I swear. And
just to get through the rules, it does.
Just to get through the rules, and then and then it takes even longer to get through it when you actually sit down and play it. So there's a few other things that, like that, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We don't know what we're doing for PuckleCon 5 yet. It depends on how the world goes, and how nice my work is, and how nice Nintendo is at being consistent with things. But
so you, by that last standard, we're pretty much done.
Yeah, we can't do it. It's not happening. No, I don't know. We'll see how it goes, because I was going to plan on doing it at North American Internationals this year. Just because that'd be easy. There's an event. We could just go over there, hang out, have fun, go get an Airbnb or something like that. And we could all just like hang out there for a weekend, and then we could do a show with whoever, whatever. So we could figure that out later. That's logistics later. But
yeah,
I was thinking do something like that. But they announced, so like, that's typically okay, because they typically do it the weekend of the 4th of July. And the weekend of 4th of July, like 4th of July, I think it's actually a Friday this upcoming year. Let me double check. And so I was just like, okay, that makes sense. No, it's a Thursday. But either way, they would have done it like July 5th through 7th or whatever. And I'm just like, that sounds reasonable. But unfortunately, they announced like the months, quote unquote, that they were going to hold these internationals. And they claimed it was going to be in June for the North American International. And
what?
Yeah. And so my real big worry is that they're trying to host it at the end of June, like the last weekend of June, which is bad news bears for Thatch's work schedule. Because Thatch...
Bad news bears for most everyone's. It's just such a bad date.
Yeah, because that's when... Because there's typically a conference for my field then that I typically go to. So if it's that weekend, we're kind of screwed on that note. And we'll have to figure something else out. But we'll probably know within a few months. Probably by like February, I'd say. By the end of February, we'll know. Well, approximately what we're doing. So... We'll figure it out, like always. If not, we'll just have it at Bo's house.
Yeah.
Done. And
yeah, I had my first housewarming party in my new house, and it was a huge success. So, yeah, we'll have it here.
I like how that's the qualifier for if PuckleCon can happen at your house. Yeah, I had a party once.
Yeah, I had one. No, I had a test one. It was a dry run for PuckleCon because I knew you were going to throw this on me.
God.
My trainer class is psychic. They call me the Cybo.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We could probably do something like that. There's been a lot of stuff going on, though, recently with Pokemon.
Yeah, lots happened.
Lots been happening. I don't know. The company itself, just with the Play Pokemon, is just like throwing curveballs all over the place. And I'm really curious to see, because I really like the way they're handling the VGC format this year and how they're just splitting it up into three distinct seasons. And my favorite part being they actually started the VGC season when the TCG rotation happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite thing.
Up.
That's my favorite thing that they've done. And there's no way they keep that up next year. Right? Because I guarantee you after Worlds, they're just like, well, we'll just keep going with this format until the new game comes out.
Yeah. They never repeat the good things.
No, and like that's gonna make me so sad. Like VGC 2020 is gonna start with, or VGC 2019 is gonna, no, we are in VGC 2019. VGC 2020 is gonna start with like a season on the 3DS, and then it's gonna go to the Switch, and it'll go to the Switch in like December or something. It'll be stupid early too, just like they have been doing it, because you have to rush through the game so that you can go play competitive at the London International. Actually, it's not London this year; they switched it up. Because the Europeans were complaining that their international was always too early. And so they swapped it with the South American international. Which is really, really funny, in my opinion. Yeah, they did that. And they always kind of capstone it, though, with the North American international. So
yeah,
we'll see what date that is. Who knows? I think Wisconsin's already scheduled. Wisconsin regional is scheduled for the beginning of June. We could always all just go to Wisconsin. You know, the state of dreams. And go to a regional. To capstone.
Is that the state of dreams? I thought it was the state of cheese.
It's the state of Mushana.
Mushana cheese.
Oh.
We could go to Wisconsin and just get cheese and hang out and play Pokemon. Sounds like a plan.
Cheese is the dream. I was having a conversation about how cheese is like the pinnacle of.
That's always been a common complaint of PuckleCon, though, is that there's never enough cheese. So we've solved
there's
that issue.
There's never enough cheese. You know how much cheese was at my successful housewarming party? Plenty.
I don't know if I believe that, but that's okay.
There was an adequate amount of cheese.
There's no such thing as an adequate amount of cheese.
It's only acceptable to have incredible amounts of cheese.
The real question is if you had any fondue.
No, there's even some leftover cheese.
Wow.
But that like, was not just, a party then.
Just enough to serve for the breakfast this morning.
Okay.
It's all gone now.
It is all gone. The cheese is gone. All right, well, enough talk about cheese. There's no cheese Pokemon. There has been a lot of other news that's been going on recently in the Pokemon world. So we're going to switch gears and we're going to kick it on over to the news. Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in. And on to the news. So in the news, we have a few things. First of all, if you want to zero in on Zera Aura, you could go to GameStop until November 9th in the United States, in or North America for that matter, and you could go ahead and grab a Zera Aura code to tie in with the latest TCG set, Lost Thunder, and also the upcoming movie, Pokemon the Movie, The Power of Us.
Man, nice. Is that the American name, Lost Thunder?
Of the set,
it
yeah.
is.
For the set? Dang, that's pretty cool. What's the Japanese name then? Because it has to be something like incredibly epic.
Yeah, I don't recall actually what was
the Japanese Lost
name?
Thunder is actually like really cool, but like
it
the original names are always way cooler.
And not only it has a good name, it's actually so far a fantastic set. By the way, some little plug here. Go check. We already have our first part episode of the review for Lost Thunder. Last week was revealed. So go ahead and watch that. Listen to that if you guys haven't. The TCG
cast. Okay. So it's Lost Thunder in English and it's called Super Burst Impact in Japanese.
Okay, I like it because lately I've been on this kick where I love things that are just like ridiculously comic booky. Like I just finished season 2 of Iron Fist on Netflix and it was just like stupid comic book like ridiculousness and I was just eating it up. So I really like that.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Super Burst Impact. But you can go get your Zera Aura to have it be a worse Tapu Koko. And that is what it is. It's just a worse Tapu Koko. A few things. We're going to talk about some Let's Go stuff later today. But there has been some more Let's Go news that's been dropped. First of all, we got a trailer this week for Master Trainers, where Master Trainers are going to be NPCs in the game that will give you some sort of challenge, and you'll be able to play them either in a 1v1 match or through some kind of side quest to be able to catch or to be able to earn a title as the master trainer of a certain Pokemon. And so that is how you can actually get certain titles. It's going to be really cool. The ones that they showed in the trailer were Venusaur, Charizard, Blastoise. You could go ahead and just use those. You essentially train.
Lapras.
Yeah, you train one of the... And Metapod. That was the funniest one.
No, yeah, that was the reveal at the end. Which mimics, I believe, the Metabot versus Metabot batch that Ash had in the anime.
Kind of, except in this one, I think the key is to just evolve a Caterpie and do it. And you don't have an issue. Because you just evolve a Caterpie, you have Tackle. The NPC probably doesn't have Tackle. And you just win.
It's probably you spend 4 minutes pressing A.
I honestly think that some of them, very early on, are just going to be kind of the introduction to the concept of the Master Trainer. Like, I can imagine, like, early on in the game, before you even actually beat it, you're going to go ahead and you'll have like your Pidgey Master and your Weedle Master and stuff like that right out the gate. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too worried because there are supposed to be one for every single Pokemon, I think. Not all of these require a battle, though. That should be noted. Some of them are side quests, such as Ditto, because you can imagine a 1v1 Ditto fight isn't going to be too much fun.
No, yeah. And I'm glad that Bo's here because we all know what we really want in Yellow then with based on this master system is to be Jolteon Master, Jashiro, and both of us. So
yes.
It's going to happen.
If we set up a shop somewhere, would it be like Saffron City?
It would have to be. That's the color of Jolteon.
Yeah, I feel like we'd be chilling in Saffron, just like training all the Jolteons.
All the Jolteons.
Yeah, all the Jolteons.
Teaching them all Thunderbolt
but,
and whatnot.
But can there only be one Jolteon Master? That's the question.
Oh, is that where the Jolteon candy machine is? That's where we grind up all the Jolteon.
No!
into specific, not even Eevee candy, but Jolteon candy. Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay,
tastes
so...
like lemon.
Only here in Saffron City.
But the Master Trainer thing, I think it's pretty cool. It's
and Jolteon and Boltzafis.
Oh my gosh. All right. And if you play Pokemon Go, you guys should be noted that Gen 4 was finally launched, but not too many of them. It was the three starters, Bidoof, Starly, Shinx, Pachirisu, Buniri, and I think Buniri and
Chatot.
Carnivine's there, and I believe also Riolu.
Riolu's in it.
Yep.
There was like 25. I think.
That's it. We hit them all. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the route. It's the starters in route one.
They're gonna just start doing. Thanks. Yeah, they're just starting to do a few things here and there. I think it's mostly because, well, honestly, they can't release too many more or they're out of like Sinnoh exclusive Pokemon, because yeah, most of Sinnoh is just evolutions or pre-evolutions of other things. Mm-hmm. So they do.
Yeah,
have to
I imagine that's what'll come out next is the evolutions and pre-evolutions.
Yeah,
and everyone who plays at least every day already has the candy to evolve all the evolutions.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, we're all just going to go like Magmortar right away. I think they're going to release new evolution items, though.
Oh, that might
be. That's what I'm saying. I think they'll do that next. The evolution items at the same time when they put like the new eggs in the eggs, probably.
Yeah.
And then later they'll release the new things in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're nervous to do it because there's just so many like overland Pokemon now.
Well, I understand that why they do that, why they would be nervous, because I mean it's going to get really disgusting when like Gen 7 gets dropped and everything, because imagine all of the Pokemon. Though granted, I think it'll make the game, I don't know, for a newcomer much more interesting, because there'll be far more Pokemon. Also, they've been doing good job the past few years of making sure they have like a Johto event and a Kanto event to make sure if there's something that you're missing, you can pick it up.
But until the Kanto event, like, I had a friend that had just started playing again. Like, he made a new account because he didn't remember his old password, but a couple months ago. And we were playing, and he had, like, just evolved his first Pidgeotto at the Kanto event. Ooh. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, man, I just don't ever see Pidgeys. And I was like, how?
Yeah, no, it's really rough to see Pidgey, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, I just remember, like, for years, it was like, Pidgey is the only thing that's anywhere forever.
Yeah, anyway, I agree with that.
But like, yeah, it does get disgusting trying to evolve stuff with all the overland Pokemon.
Yeah, I agree. I think with all of them out, it's going to be very hard to get some certain Pokemon. But I mean, it's whatever. It's not my problem. It's their problem. They've got a problem with their game. They'll figure it out. Maybe.
Yeah. I'll evolve Pokemon fine. I'm not worried.
The other thing that I want to point out, because Joe Merrick kind of went off about it this week, was in the official screenshots that were released of Let's Go during the Master Trainer battles.
Yeah.
Joe Merrick went and dug into the details real bad, because in a Charizard v Charizard matchup for one of the screenshots on the website, it has a Charizard at level 75. With 322 HP, 75, like that's a normal level that Pokemon can be at. That's not the whoa part, it's the 322 HP part that's crazy, because the maximum HP that a Charizard can get at level 75, I think, is 272. And so it's either an error on the Pokemon company's part, or it's something to do with the candy values that we've seen. We don't actually know how that works. And to be fair, Let's Go can kind of do whatever it wants, because I don't expect the stats to translate 1-to-1 when they trade the Pokemon over into the main series game, because I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see something more akin to a Pokemon transfer, though, than we're going to see into just a deposit into bank.
I agree.
Yeah, because there's just no way without abilities, without a few of the things that make Pokemon what modern Pokemon is. I think there's just no way you can do the 1-to-1 translation. And it's pretty much going to be like, well, if I bring my Pokemon over, it's just going to get its stats re-rolled. Boom. Move it over. And yeah, I don't know. I think these candy values are going to be somewhat artificial if this is true. Part of me, like, I'm pretty much 50-50 on this, because I think there's a really good chance in the screenshot that somebody just messed up. Because a lot of them for screenshots will kind of just drop the assets in post. And somebody might have messed up the HP bar at level 100 instead of level 75, because, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because in the trailer, it actually has the proper HP if it were to have no EVs and a 31 IV. So it's an interesting situation. We'll see how that plays out, though.
I can't see how they would mess that up, because they don't randomly just set up the numbers, is what I mean. It's like, if they're going to need a Charizard at level 75, they just program the computer to say, just put a Charizard at level 75, and the computer would automatically set up everything as it should be.
So that's not entirely true, because you're assuming that the screenshot is of an actual finished product.
That
I feel like that's the assumption, and I don't think that if they release a screenshot, I think there is some level of Photoshop that takes place, to put it crudely, because I can see them having just like the Charizard models from the game ready, but not the actual like, hey, here's where the HP bar goes. Hey, here's where the Pokeballs go. Hey, here's what this button goes, right?
I can
definitely see it being like, okay, we need to drop that in post, drop in the HP bar with everything, and some intern drops in the wrong thing, and the intern, it makes the Pokemon community implode because we think candy values are a thing. So I to be fair, they're typically pretty detailed, and they typically wouldn't let something like this slip. Granted, though, I could imagine on the flip side that this is their B team that's working on the Pokemon Go launch and everything to an extent.
Yeah.
Maybe not B team. I'll say A minus team. And it's not their top tier guys, but they're not bad guys.
A.0 and A.1.
Yeah. So that's really how I see. But we'll see more as it comes out. Other than that, I don't think there's too much other news going on out in the Pokemon world. I forgot Zekrom and Reshiram. You can go pick those up from in the United States. Which store do you have to go to because it's stupid? You do it by going to Target.
Target.
Wow. Yeah, Target's actually pretty good because you can just take the whole stack and nobody will care. And
yeah.
Yep. If you just want to go get like a stack of them, it's great. And you have Reshiram and Zekrom for days. So that is just the news. We're going to leave it there, but we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we are going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. That means no computers, guys. You got to use just what's in your noggins. And of course, these guys are playing together as a team. They're going to be trying to answer 5 Pokemon trivia questions. One of these questions will have a bonus point attached to it. They will also have a hint they can use as a lifeline for one of the questions if they need help on it. However, if they get all the questions correct without using the hint, they get an extra point for a possible total of 7. They are competing against the rest of the co-hosts to see who can get to 30 points first. When they get to 30 points, they get a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. They can buy a plush, put it towards that coveted Nintendo Switch they haven't purchased yet, because they're going to skip Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. And I'm literally just talking about Basket. However, we are going to go ahead and get started if you guys are ready.
Yes.
I was born
Let's
ready.
Let's go, Bozifist. Let's go.
Do this.
All right, then. Our first question comes from Taco Wolf. And he wants to know, in Generation 1, Jolteon has a base speed of 130. However, if you read its Moon Pokedex entry, it says, this is the wrong one. If you read its Pokedex entry in Generation 1, it says it's the fastest Pokemon that exists. However, this is false. What Pokemon is faster than Jolteon?
Electrode.
That is correct. Electrode has a base speed of 140, completely destroys Jolteon, but that is correct. Our first that is one
only
point for you guys today.
Only good stat it has.
Oh, get ready. This isn't the end. We're testing you. We're running you through your Jolteon paces today.
This is a warm-up. Oh, okay. I'm Randy.
I'm in for this.
All right. So what is the strongest electric-type move that Jolteon learns via level-up?
Thunder.
Yeah, thunder.
That is also correct. That is 2 points for you guys today. This is nice and short. But we're going to...
Its name, Thunders.
It thunders. All right, so I've got something else about its name, though, if you guys are ready for it. All
okay.
right. So Jolteon is known as the lightning Pokemon. However, he's not the only one. Who's the other Pokemon also known as the lightning Pokemon?
It's so easy. It's Zapdos.
It is.
Is that true? I don't believe that. That's
I'm
not the answer
sure.
that Claude gave me. We're going to double check. We're double checking.
I'm pretty sure it's Zapdos.
We're going live here, guys. We're gonna go live. So that is false. That is incorrect.
Oh,
it is not Zapdos. I'm sorry. Zapdos is known as the electric Pokemon, not as the lightning Pokemon. Man.
The lightning Pokemon, is it Raikou?
No, it is Electrike.
Electrike.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, what a little nerd. Get out of here. Get out of here, Claude.
You Claude.
Get out of here.
So we all know that growing up as kids, our favorite way to experience our Pokemon was to see them in different Pokemon movies and in the TV show. And so this question comes from Dr. Shamu, and he wants to know...
Dr. Shampoo.
He wants to know, what three movies did Jolteon show up in? This is a bonus point question, so all you need is two, one for each point. If you do three, you get bragging rights. Actually, I might forgive your lightning Pokemon, Snafu, if you get all three.
All right, Dr. Shamu... I'm going to give you my address here in a minute. I need you to come here and we're going to fight in real life. This question is freaking bull, man. I don't watch Pokemon movies.
There are three Pokemon movies in which Jolteon appears.
I don't think I've seen one since. Well, no, I saw the one in theaters last year. I haven't seen one since Lucario, I don't think.
Are we counting the mini episodes, the Pikachu movies?
No, we're counting just the movies.
Okay, so Jolteon is, if my memory serves me right, Jolteon is not in Mewtwo Strikes Back.
No, but I think it's in The Power of One. I think it's in Pokemon 2000, at least once, because they call on so many Pokemon to, like, run in, you know?
And they're themed, like, the electrics and the ice water.
Yeah, I would say Jolteon's probably in that. I don't think it's in the third movie. I don't think it's in the fourth movie. I don't think it's in Heroes.
I think it's in the Lucario movie. For whatever reason, I kind of barely remember Jolteon being in that movie. Do you?
I saw the Lucario movie once on Cartoon Network when it came out. So,
<With commercials.
laughs> like, don't quote me on that movie at all.
Wow, this is harder than I thought. Yeah,
you do have the hint.
We already missed the one question, so we're not going to get the full points. Do you want to use the hint?
Yeah, let's use the hint.
All right, let's use the hint.
Okay, so there are three movies, as we previously said. The first appearance in any movie wasn't until Generation 3.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so we're gonna. You know that one of them is in one of those Gen 3 movies. The next appearance was in Generation 4, and then one more wasn't until Generation 6. So I've just narrowed down your movie choices for you. Just give...
Okay, let's say Diancie for 6, just as a guess, because I have no idea. And Diancie was probably a movie, right?
Yes, it was.
Diancie and the Jewel of Life, that sounds right.
It could be a Hoopa movie. It could be the Hoopa movie, though.
Oh, the Hoopa one. Yeah, they did.
I didn't watch that one.
I saw the first part of the Hoopa movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
And then the voice acting was so bad that I was like, I'm not sitting through this.
It was horrible.
I'm sorry, Pokemon. You're not worth it.
It was horrible.
It was bad.
So for Gen 3, I would guess it wasn't
you think Jirachi movie?
Or
the Deoxys movie, because they're in that city.
Oh, I think I'm pretty sure it is Jolteon in that Deoxys movie, actually.
Okay.
I barely remember him and barely getting excited.
Destiny Deoxys. What do we say? Hoopa and the Hoops
Rings
of
Destiny or something.
The Hoops of Mystery.
I'll accept that if you say that. I'll accept that as the movie name. I'm not verifying it's correct though.
One is in Gen 4.
Yes, Gen one of one more is in yet. Gen 4.
Okay, what movies? There was what about Arceus? There was Arceus. There was Darkrai. There was
I don't know.
Regigigas. Which one was that? Was that was Shaymin? That was Shaymin.
Yes, man. I really have not seen many of these movies.
I watched these movies on Cartoon Network. I haven't had cable in like almost 10 years, so that's what this says.
Do you want to nail it down there?
I think Arceus, maybe, just because that I feel like it's encompassing.
I remember the Darkrai movie, but I don't remember seeing a Jolteon there.
I don't remember the Darkrai movie at all.
Best ones. If there's a couple of ones that you should remember, Darkrai is probably one that merits the time, the space in your brain.
That's when I was like super hype on Pokemon too. Like,
yeah,
I bought everything that I could take in. Man, yeah, okay. Whatever one you want to say for Gen 4.
For the Arceus, because I don't remember it being in Darkrai. I could be wrong, but I don't remember it.
So your answers are
Arceus and the Plates of Destiny, Hoopa and the
Hoops of History.
And what do we say? Destiny Deoxys. Final answer.
Deoxys.
One of those is correct, so you did get one point. Destiny Deoxys is correct. While Jolteon appears on that.
Yeah.
In Gen 4, it appeared in Giratina and the Sky Warrior, which is the Shaymin movie. It was some trainer's Pokemon that was just hanging out with like other Jolteon. It's fine. And then in Generation 6, it was Volcanion and the Mechanical Marvel.
I forgot that movie even existed.
And
I forgot Volcanion even existed. And mythicals, man. What are they?
What about Meltan, though? But we'll get into that later.
They definitely don't have the meaning that they used to have.
And so that is one. You guys have 3 points for today. So we're going to go into our base stat question, which is going to be slightly different today because Jolteon wins nothing. And so, but we still need to make
you
this about Jolteon.
And Bo's heart every time.
All right. So Jolteon's highest base stat, as we all talked about earlier, is its speed. However, its second highest base stat is special attack. Which other evolution shares the same base special attack stat?
I think it's Espeon.
Espeon
gets the big special attack.
Yeah. Right. The special attack. I think it's Vaporeon. I think it's the highest stat is the HP, and then the second highest stat is special attack with 210. It's the base. I believe if I'm not mistaken.
Man, you're saying numbers. I believe you.
But let's go through the other ones. It's definitely not Umbreon. It's definitely not Flareon. Flareon, its secondary good stat landed in its special defense.
Yeah, right.
And its physical attack is its main big one. It's definitely Glaceon.
Not Leafeon. I don't think it's Glaceon.
Glaceon does have a high special attack. I just don't know if it's its highest. And I'm sure it might be. Because what else would Glaceon have going for it?
Well, I thought it might have attack. Because
Oh, so I was mistaken. There are two.
There are two, and it's Glaceon, probably.
Yeah, it's Glaceon.
I will give you guys an extra point if you get the second one.
Okay. Fair enough. Sylveon is pretty defensive. I think its highest stats are both in its specials and its defenses. I'm not sure, though.
I would think so, but I would also count Sylveon as being like Jolteon-esque highness and special attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you think it's Sylveon and Vaporeon?
I'd go with Sylveon and Vaporeon.
Okay. It's the wild card here, it's both Leafeon and Glaceon, which I don't really remember. I might be mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think it's Leafeon. Glaceon's what's up in the air with me for Vaporeon. Yeah.
Glaceon, I just feel that special attack will be its major big one.
I needed the answer.
I want to go back to Vaporeon for whatever reason.
Okay, let's do it. Vaporeon and Sylveon. Final answer.
That is correct on both accounts. You guys saved yourselves a point.
Nice.
Because I'm being a gracious god today. And so I decided that you guys can get that extra bonus point there. The answer is Vaporeon and also Sylveon, both with base special attacks of 110. So good for you guys. It's 110, yes. And so that is fantastic for you guys. You guys are cruising right along. We're gonna give you guys 5 points today. Doing pretty solid. Ba-da-da-ding. You guys got 5 points. So there's 5 for you, Bobo, and here's an additional 5 for you, Jushiro. And so let me go ahead and rank the points so we can change that leaderboard because you guys shook it up today. And so right now in first place, so you still have Basket on top with 19 points. Followed closely by Sublime with 13 in second place. In third place, we have Gator with 12. In fourth place, we have Whimsicott with 11. In fifth place, we have Jushiro with 8. Tied for sixth, we have Shamu and Scrawn with 6 points. Tied in eighth place, we have Vigor and Bo with 5 points. Then we've got Maximus in 10th with 4. Sigma in 11th with 3. And Snag bringing up the rear with 1. There you guys go. There's your Puckle's Poke Quiz. We'll be back at you next week with another exciting episode. But until then, we're going to take a short break and be right back at you with the topic.
Ciao, I'm the Fluffiest Whimsicott, and I want to tell you how you can enjoy Puckle even more and make it better at the same time. First, join our Discord server. You can hang out with us and a ton of cool people, take part in our tournaments, and get all our news right out of the gate. You can also interact and keep up with us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on our subreddit. If you love live content, we're on Twitch at least twice a week with all sorts of streams, from viewer battles to shiny hunting to PTCGO. If you want to drop a little bit of your extra cash on us in exchange for cool stuff, we have both a Patreon and a TeePublic store, so be sure to check this out. And finally, there's so much great Puckle content that we're now on two feeds. Make sure you are subscribed to both Puckle and Puckle Plus, so you don't miss out on any of our sideshows. And drop us a review while you're at it. We really appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic is going to be today, why Pokemon fans are upset over Junichi Masuda and the words he said, mostly at Eurogamer. So for those of you who are unaware, whenever a new game comes out, Pokemon Company goes around, does its round of interviews to talk up the game so people want to buy it. And Junichi Masuda has been going around to Eurogamer, to The Verge, to GameSpot. He's been dropping interviews. Obviously, he does not speak English as a first language, so there are translations. And the big thing that happened was Eurogamer tweeted out the link to their interview with Junichi Masuda with the quote that said, let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me see. I'm just going to pull it out and make it sound as ridiculous as I can. But we also, why can't you get Igglybuff and Magmortar? And he goes, we don't want you hatching Pokemon eggs. People have hatched a lot of Pokemon eggs, and that's not what we want, essentially. That I couldn't find the exact quote. I lost it. And that's what he pulled out. That's, people took that away as, he hates the competitive community.
And of course they did.
And I mean, it's kind of a nod to the competitive community in a sense, because he does pull it out and goes, yeah, like, I know they hatch a lot of eggs, and there's no eggs in this game, because in the context of the quote, he's being asked why you can't get Igglybuff or Magmortar, the Pokemon that evolve or are related to evolutionary lines that are Pokemon from the original 151. And he said, well, there's no breeding there, and so you wouldn't be able to get things like Magby, Magmortar, Elekid, stuff like that. And so kind of at the basis that these don't exist, it didn't make any sense to include that in the game. We wanted to spend more time and put effort into the Kanto Pokemon, the original 151, because I'm going to put in my own, this is Thatch speaking now, because those are a lot of models to make, and we had to make this very quickly.
Also, because this is definitely coming from the success of Pokemon Go, which became a success because it called on to the old school Gen 1ers that never played anything past Red and Blue and Yellow, and they want to be able to hit that target once again.
I think that point's kind of moot, because this game is definitely pushing towards a Pokemon Go audience, obviously with the catching mechanic in Pokemon Let's Go. And I think that's kind of moot at this point, because those Pokemon Go players that they're trying to obviously pull in, because they go, oh, you can connect your phone with Pokemon Go. And you can connect the Switch to it and transfer Pokemon from one to the other. And I think that point's kind of moot, because right now we have Gen 4 in Pokemon Go, and those players are actually familiar with these Pokemon. Granted, they don't know that they already existed, because they think Niantic is coming up with Darkrai, but they're definitely familiar, and I do like how Pokemon Go is definitely taking older Pokemon fans and expanding their knowledge of what Pokemon exist.
In my workplace, I got friends that never played a Pokemon game in their life, and they're getting to know the new Pokemon just through Pokemon Go, and it's pretty fantastic, honestly, and I love it. It's a gateway drug.
It's a gateway drug into, hopefully, this Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee gateway drug.
Yeah. To hit back on the Gen 1 thing, I think that they realize that most of those characters are just so recognizable at this point that they can really draw people in with just those characters. And so, like, yeah, I mean, they did with the Pokemon Go audience, they did with, you know, their last movie, and they're about to do it again with this new movie. You know, it's on lots of medias, and it's an easy point to hit, you know, because, yeah, I mean, like, Gen 4, 5, you know, 6 was pretty strong. 7, those Pokemon aren't as recognizable.
No, I agree, and I think it kind of ties into the Pokemon Go thing again, because if you look at, if you try to add every Pokemon in that's come from an evolutionary line introduced in Gen 1, the problem is you hit up to Gen 6 in terms of Pokemon. And Pokemon Go doesn't encompass all the way to Gen 6 quite yet, and probably won't for a few more years. Yeah, that's something that needs to be recognized to an extent, like, oh, hey, Gen 4 just came out in Pokemon Go, and we can allow you to transfer two Pokemon, two Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee from Pokemon Go.
And when did Gen 3 come out? This spring?
Gen 3 came out last, well, they leaked it in. It started around Halloween last year, actually. They're doing it about once a year now.
Right, yeah, so Gen 5 would probably
Which is what they should be doing, because
I think so. I think so too, because
it's only been 2 years and a little bit more, and we already have four generations, so they've been pretty quick adding them.
Well, even just on a seasonal standpoint, if you add it in the fall as it starts to get cold and people stop going outside, mm-hmm. in general, you know, it's just another way to get people to keep playing your game. It's like, hey, we're adding in new characters now. Go out and keep playing the game. Go out and get the Pokemon. Because I was playing pretty much every day this summer because, well, now I'm live in the city and I live next to Pokestops and I can actually play just by walking, which is nice. And
such a concept.
Right. Yeah. I don't live in a town full of cows, and I have people to play with that want to play with me. And yeah, I can walk to a raid and a lot of times in the park, if it's like a Saturday or a day like today, community day, I could just like walk anywhere and there would be enough people to take down a legendary raid 3 times over. Yeah. Sometimes it's just awesome.
Back to these interviews. So in these interviews, he does say some other things that are kind of, I mean, frightening. Frightening from the outside looking in, I should say, because he does go ahead and he does say at one point with The Verge that he hopes that Let's Go becomes the biggest thing. I feel Let's Go is really hoping that it will serve as sort of a base or starting point for the next 20 years of Pokemon.
Womp, womp, womp.
And everybody gets, I mean, you can freak out about that pretty easily. It makes me a little uncomfortable because I don't exactly know the entire context. I can speculate the context, and my speculation of the context says it'll be okay.
Yeah,
but
it's same with me. Yeah,
but if you're just looking at that and taking that at base value, you don't really know what he means. And he says, "I want that to serve as a base point." And does that mean, oh, I want the foundation of Pokemon to be Let's Go, which is really scary in terms of, hey, we removed a lot of these stats, we removed a lot of these features, and then you don't have what a lot of us core and longtime fans would say, this is what Pokemon is.
Yeah.
So I think what we're getting at is, do you think that the core Pokemon, EVs, IVs, the battle system, the VGC, Pokemon VGC, do you think that is ending?
No.
I think that's the fear that people have, like, point blank. Yeah.
That is what people really do fear. They're fearing that they're removing the ability for Pokemon to be a competitive game, and I don't think that's a thing.
It is calculated, it is competitive, it is difficult, and it's high stakes. Like, right now, that's what it is. And, like, every click matters. Every stat point that you have, where you have it,
and how you get it,
and how you got it there, and what move you have, and what Pokemon you put in against what, mm-hmm. you know, every detail right now matters. With this Let's Go, you know, the battles, the stats are a lot less involved. It's a lot less, it's just a lot less finesse, a lot less technique.
Yeah.
And that's what people, I think, are afraid of, is that that what we have now is going to be erased and it's going to become this 10-year-old version.
And people have been feeding this fear ever since Pokemon Go was released. I mean, it's just feeding the same fear of, oh, Pokemon is now, you know, they're not paying attention to the real quotes. real Pokemon fan and they're going to the casuals, and this is their way of abandoning us and going through a new crowd, when in reality, Pokemon is trying to incorporate as many people as they want. That is what led to the creation of Let's Go, not because they want to kick us the quotes and quote real Pokemon fans, but because they want to add more people to the franchise. Because the problem that Pokemon has, and it's a very specific to them, is that their brand, their franchise is very popular. The plushies and stickers mm-hmm. and coloring books are sold to people who don't play the games at all. Because right. Pokemon itself yes. is a franchise that because sells because of the character, mm-hmm. because of the brand. They need to get those people who just buy plushies, who just buy coloring books, who just buy shirts of Pokemon, but actually don't play. They want to bring those people back into the video game so they can get them and hook them as they used it in 1998.
And right, and give them something that they will enjoy and that they will really love, and mm-hmm. and you know that they can and that they can feel validated in to talk about to other people that also play the game.
My biggest concern is that it's not going to actually accomplish that point. Like, yeah. I don't think Let's Go will do that. I think Let's Go is, I think you will see some people move from Pokemon Go to Let's Go and they'll play it. I don't think that's really what's going to happen.
I don't think that's entirely the crowd though.
I agree with you. I think this is much better for young kids.
I think mm-hmm. it's better for, yeah, the younger crowd. And, but then also the casual gamer crowd. There are the casual console owners that want to play games like Pokemon and then want to play with other people too.
Yeah, and we already had those games. That's Pokemon Sun and Moon, man. Like, those games were watered down. Well, they weren't watered down. They were very hand-holdy. They were hand-holdy. And that's how you do that with those games.
Now you have a home console game that you can play with the, you know, a family Christmas present game that you can play Pokemon on.
Yeah.
And play with the family. Because it's co-op even. So we've never had that before. You know, Pokemon Stadium, you got that, but you couldn't play through a story. You know, you couldn't play through a game and accomplish things. Now we have holiday console,
To the defense of Sun and Moon, though, because they simplified a lot of their mechanics, is one of the reasons that I finally was able to, you know, train a team up and participate in Puckle events, is because they have simplified it enough for me to not feel so intimidated, because it was really a lot of hard work before in order to you have a very competitive team built and require you to be a real hardcore gamer to do that. Now, not so much.
In Gen 6, it was just as hard as it is in Gen 7. It's not that much more difficult to get into the competitive scene.
Gen 7 is a bit more streamlined. Coming from myself being a person that did not play at all in Gen 5 because I couldn't, there was no way that I could handle it. And then being at the peak of...
If you're talking about the main story, I agree with you that Pokemon is very hand-holdy. And then, I mean, the whole point of Gen 6 was... when they reintroduce Experience All as Experience Share, was that they go, oh, hey, we want to make sure that somebody who can just play this game without any troubles whatsoever. And they did that. They succeeded. And I think it was done very well. I don't think they did a very good job transferring that over to the remake in ORAZ, because they kind of left all the trainers in there and all the experience that would help you keep leveled before Experience All happened. And now you have Experience All, and so you have these super overleveled teams. It becomes really easy. But you can play through it, get through the story if you really want to with your friends. Gen 7, I think, just did more of the same. I don't think Gen 7 was too innovative outside of, hey, let's get rid of gym leaders and do trial captains. And and get rid of the HMs. I don't think they were too innovative otherwise. I think they were just more of Gen 6 in terms of story, in terms of streamlining. I don't think they were just like, hey, let's streamline this even further by making competitive Pokemon easier to do by this or by this. I don't think breeding has really changed that much since Gen 6. And I mean, minus, I think, maybe the Pokeball. I think the Pokeball transfer down makes things, it's much easier now.
I think a very simple addition they did in Gen 7. Gen 6 had it, I did not notice. But in Gen 7, the amount of BP points you get, the battle points, it's a lot quicker and the amounts are a lot larger. in Gen 7.
I'll agree with that, because Mantine Surf exists.
Simple yes. change makes
They're
it
accessible.
A lot mm-hmm. accessible for people like me who don't have the patience
me
to
too.
Go through
yeah.
a 20-person match just to earn 3 points, 3 BPs.
Right, because if I play, I'm going to play for 35 minutes, not yeah. hours to play through and grind.
That simple
through.
Change right there is something that really opened the gates for me.
I will agree with you there. I will agree with the battle points and the ease of getting in these in Gen 7. I will agree with that.
I'll say this for Alola, because of what it was, it would not work as the first generation on a new console as being like Gen 8. I think it was kind of like a I invalidated it at all, but it was kind of like a vacation game. It was very pandered to you. Like you just got here. Everything is brand new and everything's flashy and everything's very visit-y. Come see the sights, you know. It was definitely like, it was an attraction, location. And it was kind of it didn't innovate a lot, but it had a lot of fun things and it had a lot of new things, ultra beasts and story stuff going on. But now I think Gen 8, we're going to get more of like the Gen 6 treatment, if you will, that next upgrade of Pokemon.
Oh, like, I agree. You know, I agree.
From how Gen 4 was that. Like, it's a very, like, you know, you go Gens 1 through 3. Like, Gen 3 kind of is a little upgrade to Gen 1 and 2 over the Game Boy Color. But Gen 4 is, like, the real upgrade. Like, they have your little 3D models and 3D pixel models, I mean. Like, things don't look just, like, so yeah. blocky. And we have, you know, internet access for the first time. And that changes Pokemon two screens for the first time. And then we get X and Y and we get the PSS. And it's just like that upgrade for Pokemon. And now I think Gen 8 on the Switch 2019 is going to be our next, you know, upgrade.
Oh, yeah. I'm not too worried about that.
As opposed to Alola. But yeah, Let's Go is not.
I think Let's Go, and I think much more people will agree with me that Let's Go is definitely a gateway. I mean, you're trying to get, like we said, you're trying to get the Go players. You're probably going to get a lot more kids that can get into it. And you go, oh, hey, I played Pokemon once. Now I can play. I've played a Pokemon main series game before. This new Pokemon main series game is coming out, and it's kind of a stepping stone because you go from simplified mechanics to slightly harder mechanics. Because looking at what's in Let's Go compared to what's in what are we calling it? It's Gen 8 or even in the regular games,
2019
like Alola.
Yeah,
I mean, looking at the stats, they didn't take out too much. They took out abilities. They might have changed EVs. We're not sure about that.
Yeah,
but IVs are in there. That's confirmed. And we know that IVs and EVs are in there in some extent, and maybe these candy values. I'm not looking too much into those candy values.
Yeah, no, at least not until the game is released, so we can get complete picture behind them.
Maybe in a couple of weeks when the review copies are out, they'll be able to explain. But I don't think we're going to find out probably until November 16th. That's only like 3 weeks away now, by the way. Yeah, that's coming up pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. I still don't have a Switch. I have the game pre-ordered, and I don't have a Switch.
I got the Switch. I got two Switches, and I pre-ordered two of the games. The both of them with the Pokeball.
You should have gotten the Pikachu Eevee Switch.
I'll tell you about my last 2 months if you want to hear about it.
No, I don't.
It's pretty.
I don't.
Yeah, let's not.
All right. But yeah, no, I think Let's Go is not as scary. I do think these interviews with Junichi Masuda can be scary. If I had more context, I wouldn't have any issue of fear. I'd say right now I feel 80% safe, 20% unsafe with his interviews and the direction they want to take Pokemon. I know the fan base got outraged.
That's a high percent of unsafe for you that I would think.
Only because, and I will say this right now, the only because I know the Pokemon Company has this odd feeling of the difficulty of the Pokemon franchise. If you look back at Gen 6 with Omega
they
Ruby Alpha Sapphire, they brought up a huge issue with bringing back the Battle Frontier. They thought that would be too difficult. People don't want that. When obviously I think the main hardcore fan base wanted that.
I think what that really was more of, because if you look at the Battle Frontier, it's not really anything different than online competitions that they do now.
So you're actually wrong. And let me explain to you.
You can do rentals, and I know that there's stuff and there's things that you can earn, but I don't think that the amount of time, you know, finesse that it would take to put into it as to the amount of people that would put time into playing it, they thought was worth it.
So let's look at Let's Go right now. We have master trainers, 151 of them, that are going to be very tedious, very difficult to get all of the titles for if you want to. This is an optional thing to do, much like the Battle Frontier.
Yeah, but how hard is that to put in? Like, that seems a lot easier to put in than a whole Battle Frontier. You just plug them in.
You could have just plugged in the Battle Frontier from what you had back in Gen 3. It would have been fine. It wouldn't have been that much more work. They were just worried about spending time on something that people would play, that they think people wouldn't have played. I think people still would have played it. I mean, you had several facilities with several special rules that you do not get in online competitions. The rentals are one thing, but if you ever played Battle Pike, that's something about different.
They don't listen to the fan base to incorporate certain things. So,
but no. This is why I'm worried, though.
Yeah.
Because
this is one point in which they would.
This is one point in which I think they should, and that's the one thing. That's why I have the 20% worry, because they took something like that, something that definitely the fan base would have enjoyed, and we're just like, well, we think this is too difficult, and we're scared that new players are going to get scared off from our franchise because we put hard things in them.
That was because of in an era where they still hadn't been working on Let's Go, right? So they were trying to mix the new younger generations that they really need, because they can't live off only us old original fans from 98. They have to incorporate things that will apply. They found the sweet spot now. They have Let's Go where they can pour all those we're afraid of difficulty, we're afraid of things that might angry some of the younger fans or just push them away. We have Let's Go where we can just be as kiddie friendly as we want, and we're going to have our what is supposed to be the main, well, both of them are mainstream or core titles, but now we have the hardcore for the original fans, the ones that they can have all the IVs, all the EVs, all the complications that they want and they enjoy from a normal Pokemon game. At least that's what I think that they're headed towards.
I'll end and say I want that. I think what you said is what I hope and I think that they're going to go into. That's my 80%. That's my 80%. That I believe that is the direction they want and should go. The 20%, because they have a history of just not acknowledging things in the fan base.
And not to look at the obvious.
Yeah. And I think that that is something that just worries me. And I mean, that's where I'll end it. I mean, I do have some worry here. Is just because they don't have the best history and these interviews don't do anything to help calm that worry.
Yeah.
And that's all I can really say there. I do think it's going to be fine. I think everything's going to be fine in 2019. There's not going to be a huge issue. I know people are really excited for these games, and rightfully so. They can be. It's a Pokemon game. It's a Pokemon game that 20 years ago, a lot of us are in a position where we now have kids, and now you can play it with your kids and show them what you played, and it's in even better resolution than it was on your Game Boy screen that was like, I swear, 256 pixels by 256 pixels. And like, it is definitely something like that, but I'll just end it and say, I mean, these make me feel uneasy to an extent just because of their history of not understanding the fan base itself, or at least the refusal to understand the fan base.
Yeah,
I can understand.
With that, I think that's a good place for us to end, and we'll head on over to Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you guys on the flip flop. Pokemon of the episode, and welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 552, Drapion, the Ogre Scorpion Pokemon.
Its Diamond Pokedex entry says, it has the power in its clawed arms to make scrap out of a car. The tips of its claws release poison.
I feel like Drapion is the one Pokemon from Gen 4 I constantly forget about, but it's actually good.
Yeah.
I want to put in quotes, good. like it's a good designed Pokemon, and it's supposed to be like a BA, like a... You know, like Garchomp kind of in the gen. Like, he looks awesome. And, like, in the anime, I bet they, like, fight and stuff. but in reality, I don't think he's that good.
So you're false. So Drapion's good. He's in RU right now, but that's probably more for a usage scenario than anything else, because he's got base 70 HP, and that's pretty much his lowest stat, but except for special attack, but nobody cares. He's got a base attack of 90, which isn't too shabby, a base defense of 110, which is actually pretty good,
yeah.
A base special defense of 75, which is pretty average, and then a base speed of 95. So he's going fast, man. He's going pretty fast. Base 95 speed in RU is, like, blindingly fast. And he's got a decent move pool. His move pool isn't, like, great, but by no means do I think it's awful. He gets Earthquake, first of all, in his move pool, so that's already really cool coming out of a Dark Poison type. And that's actually a really good typing, too. Poison Dark.
I'm thinking about your weaknesses, because you get immunity to Psychic, you're still weak to Ground, but then you get resistance to Fighting on Dark. You get resistance to Fairy on Dark.
The only thing that it's weak to is Ground. That is the only weakness. Of Poison Dark, which is
amazing.
It gets damaged normally by a lot of things, but it resists Poison, Ghost, Grass, and Dark. So, I mean, it's a good set. Like, it's a good typing. And that's why Alolan Muk is doing so well compared to what's it called? Regular Muk. I mean, it just blows it out of the water. And Drapion's in that same boat. He gets a good moveset, like I was saying. I mean, he gets things like Knock Off, Poison Jab for Stab, which honestly, those are probably all you ever need. But he also gets things like Earthquake. He also gets the surprise Aqua Tail, which I think is really cool.
Water EMZ.
That's actually a standard set on Smogon, is to run Water EMZ with Aqua Tail and Swords Dance and Knock Off and Poison Jab. Because you just run him fast, and if you can get him set up in a scenario where he's the fastest Pokemon, which isn't too difficult in something like RU, he can do a lot of damage. Not to mention, he does get some Bug-type coverage on top of that because of his typing, but if you're already using Dark-type moves, Bug-type doesn't really give you much more coverage than you already have. He does get Bug Bite. He gets Bulldoze on top of everything, which is crazy. He gets Fel Stinger, which is really interesting. Fel Stinger is not a move that a lot of Pokemon get.
Seems very Drapion.
It's just like a few Bug type Pokemon that get it. For those of you who are unaware, Fel Stinger raises the user's attack by 3 stages if it knocks out the opponent.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
What's base power on Fel Stinger?
50 base power, so it's not great.
But the tackle.
It's a little bit better than a tackle, but you could get some good stab from it if it's on a bug type. But Drapion,
didn't tackle get raised to 50 in Gen 7?
Did what? Tackle?
I thought tackle got raised to 50.
Good question.
I think it got raised in Gen 6.
Gen 6, I mean. I think.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, but he gets a few things. I mean, he's not too bad. He does get like some tech moves, like in Snarl. He gets Whirlwind as well, and you can also throw some T spikes on him. But I think you want to run him offensively. Offensive Drapion is scary. Drapion. I think he also gets access to Sucker Punch. Let me double check that real quick before I say anything. But it looks like he does not get Sucker Punch, actually. I lied.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah, I would. That surprises me as well. I was just about to just confirm with you out of hand because I trusted your what you said. I'm like, no, wait, no. Okay.
If he gets Sucker Punch, that'd be really good, but he doesn't. He doesn't get too many good abilities, which is probably his downfall. He doesn't get, he has Battle Armor, Keen Eye, and Sniper. None of those are great. Battle Armor just prevents crits from happening on you. Keen Eye, I think, boosts accuracy, but most of his moves are 100% accuracy anyway. But Sniper is probably the one you want to use if you're going to go with any of those three, because if he does end up getting a crit, it multiplies the damage by an additional 1.5. So that's kind of the way to go with it. Just do that. Get some extra damage out on your crits. Yeah.
So Drapion's name, maybe a combination of dragon or drastic, referring to its violent nature, or Dracula, referring to its huge vampire-looking teeth, and Scorpion. So I think overall it's Drapion.
Yeah, Drapion.
Drapion.
Drapion. Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I keep forgetting. I always scroll through these every week whenever we do the Pokemon the episode. And I keep forgetting, like, Pokemon Conquest had its own great, fantastic artwork.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I just saw the Drapion's is actually really cool. But
Drapion.
It's tomato, tomato.
Drapion.
So he also is one of the few Pokemon with a good shiny. It is actually distinctly different in its that it's like red instead of purple.
Yeah.
So like good for shiny. You. Good for you, buddy. TCG wise, Jushiro tells me there's nothing.
Drapion had the TCG has not been kind to Drapion or Drapion. Real only standard card we have is one that came in Ultra Prisms. It's a stage 2. It's not a GX. And it only has one attack. And that's Dangerous Stinger, which for 4 psychic deals 100 damage. But in its defense, it does automatically paralyze and poison the opponent. But whether you would play this only depends whether or not you can get 4 psychic energies on top of it really, really fast. Maybe combining it with Lunala GX, which allows you to switch around psychic energies in your bench. Maybe that will help you power up Drapion, but it's still a stage 2, so you need to get there. For stage 1, sorry. You need to get there. So I don't know. This card has never seen play.
Yeah, probably not. Drapion, I'm really surprised. It hasn't seen like an EX or a GX ever. Like, this Pokemon deserves a GX.
It really does.
I want to see Drapion GX next set. Let's go. Well, not next set in the US, but next set in Japan. Drapion GX. It's happening. I'm calling it. We're going to knock it out of the park.
They're going to probably couple Gen 8 with Gen 4, so we'll probably get some Drapion love back here pretty soon.
I hope so.
Not going to lie. Like, it's in line to get some love.
Yeah.
As far as things have gone.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Drapion get some love. I think that's just undervalued. Like, you have a lot of cool designs in Gen 4. I think Drapion's the forgotten one out of the bunch because you have things like Toxicroak, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And you have Garchomp, obviously. You've got a lot of really cool Pokemon there. And Lucario. Right. And yeah, I think that this is just, it gets caught up in all the coolness
Weavile.
And gets forgotten. Yeah, Weavile. Yeah.
Well, we had Gen 5 and then Gen 6 and then Gen 3 and Gen 7 and also Gen 1. And now we're getting Gen 2 again here a little bit more. So now we're back down to get some Gen 4. Like, it's next in line to get some love.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm ready for it. Yeah, so sweet. Like, yeah, I want some Hippowdon merch.
All right. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything else to say about Drapion other than it's kind of almost cool.
And almost, not there. Almost.
Yeah. So that's where we'll end this poke of the episode, and we'll be right back at you guys. We're going to switch it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooks!
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge if you start conversation or something like that. I don't know. And so, for those of you who are new to the show, this is a segment where we read listener emails, where if you send in an email, we'll have a discussion about it if you ask us questions and things like that. So, we typically have a prompt to see what you guys want to write about. Last time, we asked you, what kind of Gen 8 Pokemon would you like to see? So, let's jump right on into these emails. The first one is going to be from Cowboy Yeehaw.
Yeehaw! Hey, Puckle friends. Cowboy here for another submission to the mailbag. First, I just want to note that to your Pokken tournament most represent... note that to your Pokken tournament most represent types. Steel is another runner-up. Not just fire, ghost, and fighting. Can you name them? Yes, they are 4 as well. How could you forget the awesome sword-dancing Scizor? The 4... are Scizor, Aegislash, Lucario, and the Emperor himself, Empoleon.
Steel.
Yeah, nice. Steel, my favorite type. How could you miss them? Scizor being one of my top 6 favorite Pokemon. That's such a weird amount. It's like top 6.
I like top six because there's so many Pokemon you can carry.
Yeah, I like
Oh, that, there you go. Served me right. Pokemon that I love in UU Battlecast. Now, as for the new Pokemon designs, I have told you guys before about the zombie-like Frankenstein monster Pokemon with the ability to with the ability mummy and normal ghost type. Now, I know that that's a rough typing, so the stats must be in the 450 overall range. And also, my steel poison Pokemon in some four off Mercury. I'm not getting that one, sorry. Yeah. And the Burning Bush Pokemon. But other thoughts that I had would be cool if we had a bean Pokemon. Only because a lot of people love coffee. Okay. Oh, or maybe a Peapod Pokemon. I think, well, it's fun. It sounds interesting. I can't picture it opening up when a little face is in it. Maybe too much like Execute, but oh well. But finally, why not a Chimera Cerberus Pokemon? I think we do have a Chimera.
We do have a Chimera. It's called Type Null and Sabalo.
Yeah. Type Null. Or Cerberus. We don't have a Cerberus per se, I believe. How awesome would that be? Maybe a Roman or Greek region for the legendary? Snake tail and three lion heads spewing fire would be awesome. But maybe that's too much like Pyroar or like Type Null. What about a new type? I saw a relic type that I thought was cool. It seems the types are pretty even, but I don't know. Maybe we could get more regional forms like a Garchomp, that's not a Sharpedo. Totally just spitballing, but I thought of a Smokestack Pokemon. I can see a fighting looking like, I can see it fighting looking like Pokemon with growth in the back that formed into metal Smokestacks. It'll maybe be another sorry, this is difficult.
Oh no, it makes me, if this all, like the last few ones he's mentioned, really, like, okay, so this makes me feel like Yo-Kai Watch, like joke. This is like really Yo-Kai Watch feeling things. And that, like, then if he tells me, like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a corn Pokemon? That's where I lose it. Like, I'm
no, I like the Smokestack idea. I mean, it's very like industrial, almost like a fire steel type that's, you know, based on industrial smog or, you know, coal plants. I could totally see it happening.
A global warming Pokemon. Anyway.
Oh god.
It may be another fire steel that shoots projectiles out of its smokestacks like cannons. What about a bison Pokemon? We already have a bison.
Like
Pokemon.
Buffalot or Buffalo. Tauros?
Tauros, yeah.
Tauros is a steer Pokemon and Buffalot is a buffalo. Bison are different. They're like large. They're
like buffalo.
They're way different. All right, Thatch, okay. I'm going to give you my address and we're going to have to come fight IRL.
I know there's a boar, a cow,
come
and a
with Shamu.
or a moose Pokemon, and another elephant Pokemon that's large, unlike Donphan, which is always weird. Why do we have the elephant Pokemon that we have? It's not that big. I'd like a dolphin. Elephant. Yeah. Moose but the elephant. There we go. I'd like a dolphin one. Yeah, that one, we haven't had a dolphin Pokemon ever. That's kind of weird. I feel like
I say this every time we come up with Pokemon. Like all last episode, I was talking about this dolphin,
a fire water llama.
Yeah, what we have Kyogre, which is like an orca, which is like dolphin like species. I could keep going, but I don't want to make a long email too late. Maybe another time.
That's Shiro with the shade.
Thanks for all that you guys do. The trivia you guys do is my favorite and keep my Pokemon for Pokemon going. Hope I started a good conversation. P.S. I have the badge already. Cowboy.
What's up, cowboy?
What a nice child telling
us. What do you
guys
think about that? A Peapod Peacock?
A Peapod Peacock? Ooh, I don't like it.
I'm only saying that it took us 7 generations to come up with a wolf Pokemon. Like a legit straight up wolf.
Yeah.
And that's you're not wrong.
I mean Lycanroc is pretty Garurumon already, but
yeah.
Yeah. Like Digimon did it back in the 90s, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And,
And City Pets, what's it called? Neon Pets came up with Float Sam, the golfing monster. Also,
that is
way
true.
Back in the day.
That is true.
Man, shade. Come on, Pokemon, step it up.
Right.
Gen 8, let's give us 80 new mons. All awesome. Like 10 inanimate objects and 70 organic.
All right, here we go. So this next email is going to be from, I guess, Sean. Dear Puckle, this is the first time I've emailed in, but I've been listening for a while. Well, thank you for listening, and then thank you for writing now. I'll try to keep it relatively short and first say thanks for all of the entertainment while I'm either on long runs or while I'm at work trying to stay sane. Well, you're very welcome. None of this was Bo didn't allow for that to happen. I'm just giving Bo crap.
What?
I wanted to write in because I have lately been thinking about misconceptions I've had as a kid playing older games. For example, I remember playing Blue version and thinking I shouldn't use a potion when my Pokemon has low health because it wouldn't be as strong in battles, or it would be if I was healing up at a Pokemon Center. Or like when I was playing Pokemon Pearl, that circling a Pokeball on the bottom screen would increase the chance of the Pokemon staying in a ball. So I was wondering if you guys had similar misconceptions early on playing the games, or if I was just a fool. Well, that's a good statement.
Yeah.
Or if I was just a fool.
No, if you press the B button on the Game Boy Color right as the Pokeball animation closes and the flash happens, if you press B right at that moment, it automatically seals the ball and you catch it every time.
100%.
But you have to press it right as it happens.
And when you turn
the misconception, I had, for sure. I had an older friend that told me that, like, he was 2 years older than me and I trusted him.
Yeah. I had a friend who would turn around his Game Boy and said that if you wanted to hit Thunder 100% of the time, you had to turn your Game Boy upside down. And he legit did this every single time.
Dude, that makes sense, doesn't it?
That kid organically discovered how to evolve Inkay. He was the only one. He was the only person that organically discovered how to evolve Inkay into Malamar. Because there is no intuitive way to do that.
In his apartment that he's got with cardboard boiled up on the window. He's like, I knew it! I knew it would happen!
As for the question, I agree there should be a platypus Pokemon since it's already an awesome animal and would be a cooler Pokemon. Sorry for the long email. Catch you on the flip-flop, Sean.
Nice, Sean.
Thanks for that, Sean. We appreciate it. So this last one's going to be from Uncle Oshawott and Mr. Bobo. You've got this.
All right. This is from Uncle Osh. Generations 1 through 5 had a very straightforward way of introducing Pokemon. Excuse me. You get a certain number of Pokemon and maybe some form changes. Then you head off on your merry way. The 6th generation of Pokemon is when Game Freak more than likely realized that the Pokedex was growing very large very quickly. Ever since, we've had some new gimmicky form of a Pokemon via Mega Forms in Generation 6 and regional variants in Generation 7. This pattern has good bits and bad bits to it, which brings me to this week's mailbag. Regional variants and Mega Forms are both great ideas to recycle Pokemon in unique ways. Unfortunately, these ideas are getting really confusing really quick. Both these new classes of Pokemon forms were only used once. No new Mega Forms were added in Alola, and Ultra Moon brought no additional regional variants. So what do I want out of Generation 8? Stop introducing new classes of Pokemon and never using those classes again. This gives us new Megas in Gen 8. Some regional variants of Johto Mons would be nice. You don't need to create a new shiny gimmick to sell. You don't need to create a new shiny gimmick to sell a new generation of Pokemon. Just develop all the new you worked so hard to implement. So yeah, my hopes for new Pokemon in Generation 8 aren't brand new Dex entries, but rather new Mega and new regional forms of Pokemon. Prolong the rapid climb to 1,000 Pokemon, Game Freak. Make this great franchise last as long as it possibly can. Sent from my Rotom Dex, Uncle Oshawott.
I think they would get so much hate if they did that.
I agree, though. Like, I don't... 1,000 Pokemon scares me.
It's going to happen, though. We're already at 807.
Why fear the inevitable?
But 1,000. That's so many Pokemon. Like that's a threshold. Wouldn't you say that's a threshold?
I think it's more of an eye opening number than anything else, right? Because we're already 80% of the way there.
He started from a humble 150.
Humble. Okay, put humble in quotes, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah.
They were bragging that was a large amount back in the day.
No, y'all trying to diss your roots? We came from 150. That was it. Don't you look at your 700.
All right, Gen 1-er, settle down.
No, you... But
Jushiro's right. No, you need to just calm down. Like, I understand. Yeah, 150. That wasn't a lot. But they've been doing it correctly throughout the years, I think. Because, especially with... Okay, if we want to go full circle right now and go back to the topic, because if you're only going to let the Pokemon that were only up in that generation up until that point in your Let's Go series of games, because we know if Let's Go does well enough, we're getting Let's Go... Yeah. We're getting Let's Go Meryl and Let's Go, I don't know, Politoed. Who cares? And...
I think it'd probably be like, you know, Let's Go Johto, or Let's Go Ho-Oh, Let's Go Lugia, or Let's Go Entei.
I hope it's Meryl and Politoed now, and you're proven wrong.
Meryl and Politoed. I hope I'm wrong too, Thatch. I hope it's Meryl and Politoed.
But that kind of gives you that like introductory step if you're new to the franchise into it, because if you're growing with the franchise like we have, I'd say every 2-3 years, I'm okay with another 80 Pokemon. I can learn those. Like that's fine.
80, but that's the thing. 80 Pokemon
at a time. Yes,
you don't want 100 new Pokemon. You don't want 120 new Pokemon.
I'd be okay with 100.
100?
Yeah, I think the good average size.
We're at 800.
We're at 807.
807. 900.
That's not including Meltan, by the way. That's not including Meltan.
So 908.
808.
Sorry. And we're going up to 908 next gen.
I would be okay with that.
By 2020, we have 1,000 Pokemon.
Not by 2020. They're not going to make a new gen in 2020.
You don't think so?
No. Generations usually last about 3 years. Generations last about 3 years.
No, true.
So in 2022, we'll maybe hit 1,000. But I don't even think that's going to be true. I think we're not going to hit it until like 2025.
All right. That's about 200 Pokemon every 2 years. Yeah, okay.
2020. I think you're going to see something like 80 again, just like we saw in Gen 7, and you'll get 80 on average for every generation. I think that's a good number. I like 100, only because that gives you a little wiggle room if you want to like do something with the previous generations.
Yeah,
you know, like where's that Jinx evolution, right, boys?
Where's that Farfetch'd
evolution?
Back to the email. I agree that's what. You know, we don't need a new gimmick. We don't need a new different thing other than a regional variant or a mega.
I think regionals open it up for them a lot.
We don't need like a synchro evolution or, you know, a fusion evolution or, you know, we don't need a new gimmick. We don't need a new thing. Mm-hmm. I agree with it a lot that
I think
we could just use expanding, you know, mega and new megas would be great or new, a different, you know, the new region could have a new regional variant. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that can expand on forever.
I agree with
and
you.
I know a lot of PTU podcasts that I listen to, they all do regional variants in their campaigns and stuff. Like it's a pretty widespread thing that, you know, people just want to make new regional variants. Yeah, so
absolutely. I mean, that was the thing even before regional variants were a thing.
Right. I realized that. But,
but
people like making...
I mean, I agree with you. But thank you for that, Uncle Oshawa. We appreciate your email. So before we move on, the Green Taurus badge, does it go to Uncle Oshawa or does it go to Sean, the affectionately named Sean?
I know we memed about it, but we did talk a lot about his email.
Which one?
Uncle Oshawa.
Uncle Oshawa. All right, Uncle Oshawa.
We did.
Your time has come. The Green Taurus badge is yours. All right. Well, moving on, though, if you want to do more Puckly goodness, you can email us next week at Puckle Podcast by going to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email there. And we want to know, what are your thoughts? Do you think, what's his face? Junichi Masuda hates competitive Pokemon players. What are you worried that Let's Go is going to take over the Pokemon franchise? Send it over to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. And finally, if you want to keep up with us and do some more crazy stuff, check out our Twitter at Puckle Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Reddit. All those social media things. Also, you can check me and Jashir out over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where we stream video game. We stream TCG. Jashiro's getting into Pokken. It's a good time. And so,
Some plug there. Make sure today, Monday, I am going to be tonight. I have a very special show for you guys, the Jashiro show at Twitch, and it's going to be way more than just playing video games. I hope you enjoy it.
And we're also if you have one of those Twitch Prime subscriptions, you can always drop it there because it's free for you, but it helps us out, and it's a great way to support the show. But you can also support the show by going to TeePublic and picking up a brand new Puckle logo t-shirt. We just launched those earlier this week. And so if you're just like, man, that new logo looks sweet, I wish I could have it on a t-shirt or a throw pillow, you could go get it over there. Also, I think it'll do like a poster and all this other crazy stuff. So definitely go check it out over there. You can also go ahead and support us more directly by heading on over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can get a bunch of goodies, including free Pokemon. Patrons right now are, I think, if you're at the correct tier for free Pokemon, we're going to be giving away a hidden ability Gorgeist for Halloween. So definitely go check that out if you're a patron. So we really do appreciate that. I think that's usually my spiel. I don't think I usually forget anything else. So I guess here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Bosefus.
Some say I'm Jashiro.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. Always, we here at the Puckle Podcast would like to thank our patrons for supporting the show. You can help support the show at patreon.com to get your name listed here at the end of the show, but also get cool rewards such as the Gorgeist we're going to be giving away with its hidden ability on the GTS. All of those, for those of you at the proper Patreon tier, I believe $5 a month and above, you will be notified on Patreon, so look out for that this week. We should get that set up by then. And so let's, without further ado, let's jump right into it. Thanks to Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Dr. Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Bosefus, Alvarin, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, Claude Nine, Jonathan, Joshua, Nathan, The Golden Klefki, Trevor, TJ, Doc Knox, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Daniel, Traby, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Jedi DJ, The British Gent, Sparky, Nick, Dylan, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Michael, Thomas, Uncle Oshawott, Curtis, Echo, Clifford, Anime, Hazelnut, Joseph Inferno 235, Alex Ray Snyder, and The Real EV. Once again, guys, thanks again for all of your support. Without you, we couldn't do a bunch of awesome stuff that we do at Puckle. So we look forward to seeing you guys in future endeavors, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.